Are you feeling totally disorganized, chaotic, and overwhelmed trying to manage your podcast process and content? Well, keep listening for strategies, tips, and tools to get your podcasting life organized right here, right now. It's On Air Brands.
You're now tuned in to the On Air Brands podcast.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to the On Air Brand Show. I'm Todd Genetasio, along with my co-host Amber Furman, fresh off of her amazing mastermind weekend retreat action workshop going on over in Vegas for her group. Amber, what is going on? How was it?
What's up? It was amazing. I have to say, first of all, though, that whatever sound effect you just made, I need that recorded that I can like insert into all of the like tongue twister mistakes I made, because yeah. That was perfect. I loved it.
Yeah. Well, you know, I that was the first time in like 45 episodes that I stumbled on the intro there, because as we've mentioned before, I basically either do it off the top of my head or write it as we're coming live. And the mistake I made, this is rookie mistake, was right before I came on camera as we were setting up in StreamYard here. I ate a handful of chocolate covered almonds, and so my mouth was not properly prepared for the language coming out, and I'm a little embarrassed, but what are you gonna do?
Which is obviously the almonds' fault, because nobody would ever blame chocolate, right?
No,
so
yeah.
It has to be the almonds.
Chocolate was only there to comfort me.
Yes. And did it do a good job?
I'm gonna need more of it now.
No, I loved it. I was like, we talked about this in a prior episode. I love the vulnerability that goes on with a live show, right? Mm-hmm. And like, shit just doesn't always work the way you expect it to. And I love that.
Yep. What are you going to do? Just keep rolling with the punches, you know?
Yes. Yes. So anyways, the event was amazing. Mm-hmm. And we had some great people come out, great lessons that I learned. I have a long list of notes of all of the amazing things that happened, and a longer list of notes of all of the things that I get to do different next time to make it better. I think that the most important thing, though, and this is going to go in so much to what we're talking about today, is that nothing catastrophic went wrong, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I can look at it and say, yes, logistically, this could have been better. I should have had an event planner. I should have had somebody else doing X, Y, and Z so that I could be more present in the event and focus a little bit more. But when I step back and think about, was there anything that happened that lessened the value of the event? The answer is no. Like, it was as valuable as it could have been, given everything that happened. And you know, I'm okay with that. And I think that as we record content, as we get into podcasts, as we do things, that's the way we have to look at it. Like, stuff can always be better. Mm-hmm. Was there anything that catastrophically impacted the value of what you're doing? And I can honestly say no, which is a really good feeling.
Yeah. Especially when it comes to events. I probably should have told you this last week, but my uncle is an event planner in New York, and he's semi-retired ish now, but he used to be the go-to event planner for Broadway, so for Broadway shows. And so my friends and I, we were cheap labor when we were in college, right? It was like, you know,
of course,
it was like a six pack each and like $20, and we'd work like 14 hours, like carrying boxes up and down, you know, these, you know, four flights of stairs across five blocks to get this, you know, the goodie bags all packed and all that stuff. But something that he used to always say to the team before was that the guests don't know what's missing. So like if a delivery didn't come in time for like a particular thing, like it was like no one knows but us. So as long as we don't make a thing of it, it's not a thing. And like you said, it's not devaluing the event, so it doesn't matter.
Exactly. And I saw some amazing transformation, which is what it's all about, right? Mm-hmm. You know, I had people connecting and growing, which was fantastic. And then my icebreaker was an escape room, and I made a joke before I took them all down there that have you read You're Invited by John Levy yet? Okay, so it's an amazing book about creating community. And he talks about drill instructors and why they are such jerks. He says they've got to take people from all different ages, all different religious backgrounds, all different ethnic backgrounds, different social grow, you know, mm-hmm. being raised socially, and give them a common thing that allows them to bond in like a 6-week period to where hating they would the literally die for each other. Mm-hmm. And that common bond is hating the drill sergeant, right?
Yeah.
And so I made this joke and said, hey, like, I'm not going to make you guys hate me. What I am going to do is lock you guys in a room and let you figure out how you're going to get out. And so we did escape rooms for the icebreaker, and it was amazing.
Were you in there too or no?
I was. Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah. It was great. And if you guys haven't done an escape room, God, they're so much fun.
Yeah. They're cool. I did. You know, what's funny is my wife, I think she maybe got it for me for my birthday or something years. It was before we had kids. But we did it. It was the two of us, but we joined a group of, you know, a group of random people. And I think it actually turned out to be more fun that way, getting to like interact with people who weren't our friends. Cause I think if you had previous relationships and interactions or whatever within a group of friends, like it's very easy for things to continue to go a regular way. But when it's complete strangers working together, you know, everybody kind of like, you know, I don't know. I thought it was a really cool experience.
Yeah. The best compliment I think I could have gotten was one of the speakers wasn't able to come on Thursday. So he joined on Friday and he came up to me and said, how long has everybody here known each other? And I said, well, some people came in pairs or triplets. For the most part, though, everybody just met yesterday. He's like, whatever you did worked, because I'm watching people and they're talking like they've been friends forever.
Yeah.
And I'm like, success,
that's
right?
Amazing. Yeah. Amazing. I love that.
Yeah, it was cool. So thank you for asking.
Yeah. Yeah. So relevant to today's topic about getting organized and everything, you know, I want to start off with why is it important to kind of get organized and, you know, get a process down for your podcast. And really, when it comes to organization, it helps you get clarity and confidence in what you're doing, which helps you with speed. And the faster you can move, the more momentum you're going to build up. Right. And the easier things feel. Right. I love, like Tim Ferriss has a quote, I think it's his, or, you know, where, I don't know where he might've borrowed it from, but it's like, if this were easy, what would it look like? Right. And like thinking of, you know, once we, there's kind of like two, well, there's probably a lot of dipping points in the process of launching and growing a show where it feels very heavy. You're just deep in the weeds and you're like, man, this just feels like so heavy. Well, I'm overthinking everything. I'm overdoing everything. I'm overworking. I'm in that hustle and grind, like where it's just diminished returns times 10. Where like, let's zoom out. Like, how can we, what would this look like if it were easy?
Yeah.
And I have some like ridiculously simple tips for people when it comes to like organizing for podcast and content and just running a business that like are so commonly overlooked. I can't wait to reveal those in a few minutes as we get into those tips. But I want to start off, you know, segueing from your event. You just recently in your business set your assistant up with what I forget what you call it, the like post action debrief.
It's an after action report.
After action report.
I took the idea. So if you guys haven't guessed right already, anybody who listens to this knows that I drop like 3 or 4 book titles every episode. Like, I'm a huge reader. I love it. It's from David Goggins, Can't Hurt Me. Mm-hmm. And he's a military guy. And he started saying like after every military exercise, whether it's practice or whether it's an actual mission, they sit down and they debrief. And he said, why aren't we doing the same thing in business? So he created this idea of an after action report, like what went well, what didn't go well, what could go better, what would I change, who needs to be involved in next time that wasn't involved. It's really just this cool way while everything's fresh in your mind to be able to organize what you want to work on for the next thing that you do.
Yeah. I think it's so easy, for us to end up doing a lot more than was necessary. And that's a great way to kind of get clarity on like what worked, what didn't, what got in the way. There's another, I don't know if it's a book or not, but I heard this from Benjamin Hardy, who's phenomenal author, vlogger, blogger, blah, blah, blah. But it's, does it make the boat go faster?
Yes.
Right. And I do think it's a book. It's not his book, but, I watched him talking about that. And it's like, I forget, it was like some, you know, boat crew that would win races by like, no matter what in their training, in their practice, in the actual races, it was like, if this action is not going to make the boat go faster, we don't care. We're not doing it. And I think that's a great way to think about like how to simplify your processes, you know, when it comes to, you know, launching and growing your show or anything in business, really.
Yeah, I absolutely love that story. And I had actually like looked into it for a speech I was giving, and it was the 1998 Men's Eight, and it's Ben Hunt Davis who is the big guy or the leader of that for Will It Make the Boat Go Faster. Yeah. And basically they just kept losing. They kept losing by like so little. Mm. And for an entire year when they trained, like whether it was individually or as a group, every single decision they made, from what they were going to eat for breakfast, were they going to go out with friends that night, whatever it was, will this make the boat go faster? And I remember the first time I heard this story, similar to what you just said, it was in a business meeting. And somebody threw out an idea, and somebody in response said, will this make the boat go faster? And it was just a way for you to refocus everybody's attention that we all have a common goal. So I love that reference so much.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause it's so easy to just get lost in the details. I mean, shoot, even just like picking thumbnail like you could scroll through a stock photography site for hours looking for like the quote perfect picture or background, you know, that's like, got, you know, 50% opacity and text over top of it. No one notices what it is anyway, you know, and it's like, is this going to matter? So, you know, I think my number one tip is like, one, make sure no matter how far in the weeds you get, like check yourself and think like, will this make us more efficient and effective? Like if it's not going to be more effective, then being efficient at it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
So make things easy and simplify them.
Yeah. And I think on that, done is better than perfect, right? Mm-hmm. So you can sit there and perfect it and it never gets out. And then it doesn't matter how perfect it is because nobody gets to see it. Or you can get it out. And even if you found that perfect picture, and I think this is one of the things that we tangentially talk about, but don't really get into in every single episode. And that's that perfect picture is that perfect picture for you. So you're going to send that out to, you know, 200 people and like 50 of them are going to think it's the perfect picture. 50 of them aren't even going to notice it. 50 might not even open the email, right? So you spend all of this time on something that's perfect for you.
Yeah.
Doesn't necessarily matter for your client base.
Yeah, totally. I think that's something I hadn't thought about before, but making a list of things that are totally subjective and personal and come down to a personal preference and making a note of that, like, okay, I would love to have the perfect picture that I love here, but I know it's not going to make the boat go faster. So check, ship it. And like, if I have time to come back and do that kind of stuff.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's great.
And on that note, like one of the things I wish I would have done sooner is, I mean, I know I'm not the only person here that scans through Facebook to decompress, you know, like you don't want to think about anything else. So you go to the Entrepreneurial Witness Protection Program, also known as Facebook, and you scan through all the stuff that's supposed to make you motivated. Right. And along there, you see like 20 different memes and you're like, oh, that's cool. That's cool. That's cool. I'm going to save that to my phone. And then it gets mixed in with everything else. Mm-hmm. And a friend showed me like this album she had of all these motivational quotes that she had seen. And I was like, how cool is it to actually create an album of these memes or pictures that you might want to use later? I feel like we don't do that enough.
Yeah, I can give a little tip here. We'll throw this in, and it is actually one of the tips I'll give later in more detail. But on Instagram and Facebook, you can save posts and create categories. So I have two things that are relevant here. One, a swipe category, right? These are, for people not familiar, swiping is from copywriting primarily, I think, where it originated, but it's basically like taking inspiration from your competition and other people out in the market and just like putting it into a file of ideas to check out when you need to go back, right? So when I'm scrolling through Facebook or Instagram and I see a graphic I like or some copy in a post that I like or, you know, something that's good, I'll save it into a swipe file. And so one, if you're looking for stuff like, oh, here's a cool way to lay out the graphics for a show, boom, you can save that. Or here's a cool promotion, you know, promotional copy or the way they structured it. The other thing is like what you're talking about is mindset. So I actually have a mindset category as well. So when I'm scrolling through and I see something that like really hits me, like I'll save that to my mindset bookmarks in Instagram.
Yeah. Well, and then when you finally let go of control, like I recently did, and you give your newsletter over to your executive assistant, and then you sit back and sit on your hands so you don't take it back from her, you can give them that folder and say, hey, I don't care what quote you include, as long like if it's in this folder, it's fair game, right?
That's
like
exactly right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so, and now again, like what I always say is like, how can you kind of integrate your professional and personal life so that things are easy, right? Like my fantasy football example, when I was like deep in following sports all the time, it was easy for me to be great at fantasy football. Now that I have two kids and multiple businesses, et cetera, not so easy. But if you're scrolling through social media for however much time, we no shaming here every day, right? But if you're putting those things into the bookmarks and the folders, now all of a sudden you don't have to do any research for your newsletter because you're already doing it.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So this kind of goes straight into what we're talking about next with this tip of planning. Mm-hmm. Everything that we do with this podcast, if we want it to really be a business instead of a hobby, has to be intentional, right? Mm-hmm. And so without that planning, you don't really know where you're going to go or how you're going to get there. And the planning is super important. So we had talked about, do you want to do seasons? Do you want to do segments? Do you want to, how do you want your episodes to go? Do you want them to be the same question all the time? There's so much for you to think out to plan. Mm-hmm. Are you like Todd and I, who do better when you're got bullet points and you're just kind of riffing off of that? Or do you need a script? And if so, how are you going to, so there's so much that goes into planning, but the underlying thing is just be intentional about where you are, where you want to go, and how you're going to get there.
Yeah. I think that's great. And it brings up another thing from that I learned from Benjamin Hardy too, is about like the planning of not just your content, which if you do need help planning out episodes, check out last week's episode, which is season 3, episode 26 at onairbrands.com/show, where we talk about how to plan out your content and your episodes strategically. But also think about your environment. So when you sit down, right, like my microphone is clipped on the desk here on the arm so that when I sit down, I just have to swing it over. I keep I have a ring light that clips on to my laptop and my webcam that clips onto my laptop in 2 seconds. So those sit, I actually keep them clipped on the mic arm. So when I'm ready to go on, boom, I just swing it over, turn it on, and I'm good to go. And actually, side note, as we're thinking about our next house that we're going to buy next year, I think I really want to have like a content room or at least like a content corner in a bigger office in the house where like there's a dedicated desk that's got my stuff set up where I sit down, hit a button and like I'm live or I'm recording and like,
yeah.
Setting yourself up, planning, not just your episodes and your content, but like planning out, like set up your room or your desk and make it easy for you to get started.
Yeah. And, you know, there's going to be, I think, some tips we're going to talk about here in just a little bit about the actual things that you can do in relation to guests if you have them to make that easier. One of the things that I think I see when it comes to planning is very similar to what we were just talking about with images and pictures is touching it too many times. Like, mm-hmm. How do you get a flow in to where you're only touching each thing one time?
I'm guilty of that in so many areas of business. But yeah. That's a great tip. Yeah.
And I am too. And the reason that it's so front of mind is because I just had to explain to my executive assistant how I do everything with my podcast. And I realized as I was explaining it to her, how ridiculous it was to have her log into things like 7 times. Right.
Yeah.
And so like, if you are curious to, am I doing too much? Try to write an SOP for somebody. Like if somebody had to do this for me, how would I tell them to do it? And then it brings to the forefront all the stuff you're doing that's unnecessary.
Yeah. Yeah. Or you start to just see these things. Cause I've done this a lot in different areas of the business, whether it's building websites or creating content strategy or whatever it is. And when I'm documenting it, I have this long list of, you know, 72 different bullet points, but then you start to see them in groups where you're like, oh, well, when I do it, that's the order that I was doing it in. But if I actually took step, you know, 17 through 22 and moved it up to be with step 4 through 8, that would streamline it more. So then, you know, you kind of start to see things a little easier and can find improvements there too.
Yeah, absolutely. So talking about that documenting, mm-hmm. You know, there's so many different ways that we can do this. You can have a video podcast. You can have an audio podcast. You can have a guest. You can have solo. No matter what you do with that, I think in my tip in relation to this is that consistency is the key. Like if people have to guess what's happening, there's going to be concerns. But if you can be consistent about when your episodes are coming out and things to that effect, that you'll have much better success.
Yeah. Yeah, totally. And I think, you know, when it comes to that stuff, it also makes it a lot easier where you don't have to think, right? It's like setting up your environment. You have this checklist, you can pop it open, you can go through, you can delegate things out, which we'll get into a little bit more. But all of that stuff, the planning and then into the documenting of what you have going on, makes it way easier and more organized. And it does take a little bit of time up front, but it is well worth it. And it will save you hours and hours and hours or every week or month when you're creating your stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. And then also very similar to what we talk about with your newsletters, when we're when we're talking about newsletters, sometimes when you are kind of in the middle of a project or just finished a project and you're looking for what to say, sometimes the best thing to do is just talk about where you're at, right? Mm-hmm. Just open up your camera and just talk about what you're dealing with and what it's like to finish an event or what it's like to plan something, and just share that with your audience, because something's going to resonate. So if you're talking about this documenting, sometimes the true documenting of just like opening up a camera and talking is the right way to do it, you know, when you're doing content.
Yeah. And then it becomes super easy to share, right? Like a couple episodes ago, we did a whole email marketing strategy around your podcast, right? So guys, onairbrands.com/show to go and check out that episode. But we did that episode, and now you can send that to your assistant to now set up that strategy with the existing episodes and log into your active campaign and load that stuff up, right? So you can even use your episodes as a place where if you use your show as a place to give advice and kind of guidance to your audience, you can use that as a place to also just coach through your team, right? I think that's a great thing. And I've even turned some of my internal documentation into products, right? Like I sell some online courses that were originated because I had to train my team on doing Facebook ads. So I made a 90-minute Facebook ads course that I sold to my email list, right? Like, so it's when you get into that habit of doing these different things, it makes streamlining your whole business a lot easier.
Yeah. And that's a really cool tip and a really important thing too. And I really resonate with that, because I didn't do all of that when I first started. Mm-hmm. And I think so many times when we start, we focus on the ways that we know, like, I'm not going to need this because I'm never going to do anything with that. Well, then 2 years later, you have a business and you're like, I really wish that I would have just had this banked content.
Yeah.
Right. And so even if you don't think you're going to use it right now, make sure you're doing audio and you're doing video and you're keeping all of those things kind of organized, because when it does come time, they can come in really handy.
Yeah. So this is another big thing, is organizing your content, right? Organizing your show, and not just your episodes once they're published, but like when you're planning out your episodes and stuff and what you can do. And so some tips that I have for that, like one of the super easiest things to do, it takes zero additional work. You just have to think for like 5 minutes ahead of time on how you're going to do this, and then you're set for the rest of your show. But like, We take our show notes in Google Docs, right? And we have a pre-planned structure of, you know, the question. So I would say, you know, planning ahead, have your document of a Google Doc for your episode and the structure. So for us, we have, here's the topic, here's the intro question that I'm going to ask. Here's we're going to talk about why this topic is important. Then we're going to get into the what's, and then we're going to give some teasers and calls to action at the end on what you can do next, right? And so then every week I just clone that document and we just fill in the bullet points for what we want to talk. And it only takes like 10 or 15 minutes of us kind of plan, you know, to plan out our episodes. And what I also do is, naming the document is something that, when it comes to Google Docs, when it comes to files on your computer, when it comes to, you know, your Slack channels, your email subjects, your I use Airtable, Trello, Asana, like anything that you're doing, thinking about the naming conventions is so important for two reasons. One, when you or your team have to search for this in 2 months, will you be able to find it? Right? That's something I always keep in mind when it comes to the titles of things. Like, is this descriptive enough that if I'm searching for it, we'll be able to find it pretty quickly? And two, the file naming, so that they're actually organized. So if we're putting together an episode series or an email series or anything, I will create a folder, name it accordingly. And then every email starts off with 01, 02, 03, 04, because now we can just sort the files by name and they're organized in the order that they need to go in. As silly as that sounds, it has saved us so much like mental energy when it comes to just like grabbing stuff that needs to get done or following through on instructions and loading these things up. Like, just simply naming documents so that you can sort them easily and that you can search them easily when it comes to your show planning or referencing back. And it makes referencing back easy if you follow last week's episode where we talked through how to plan your episodes out strategically. Plus, now you have them organized and named accordingly. So that's why during our episodes, I can easily pull up the either Google Docs or the Apple Podcasts or onairbrands.com/show and quickly find stuff that we're talking about during the episode.
Yeah. And, you know, going a little bit deeper than the naming itself into the actual episodes, like I wish, and I'm working on this now, but with 200 episodes, it's so much work. And so this is why I hope you guys listen to me before you're at 200 episodes. I wish that I would have done a better job of categorizing what's in the episodes as far as what my guests said and quotes that they may have pulled out, because now I want to start doing some compilation episodes and putting all of that together. Yet before I can do that, I have to go back and figure out what all my guests said. Right.
Yeah.
And so now I'm like, from this point forward, how are we going to do it? And then what's the plan to catch up? And then, you know, what quotes would have been powerful? Like we say a lot of things in episodes. So there's so much content above and beyond just your podcast that's in your podcast that you can only use if you've organized that well.
Yeah. Yeah. And another super, super easy thing that I think people forget about that makes just working on the computer so much better is using your bookmarks in your browser, right? We talked about it for Instagram and Facebook for saving posts that we like and want to share, but just using bookmarks, like where when we're about to start, there's two reasons I like it in Chrome is number one, I have stuff where I can just click the button and it opens up our doc that I can clone, right? Or that, once you save stuff, you can just type the name, right? So if I start typing like OAB show plan, the template doc, actually, I just hit enter and it opens up that document because the bookmark is there, right? So bookmarking stuff is super helpful. And then, you know, I have, because it's relevant, my bookmarks are my Airtable where I keep a knowledge base of stuff organized, of episodes or different tools that we use. And then I have Trello cards that I've bookmarked, you know, so that we're planning our show episodes. We have, you know, ideas, planning, streamed, published, promoted, right? We have those across the board. And that makes it easy for the team to be able to follow up on that stuff. But bookmarks. I mean, it's so easy and it's so forgotten because it's like such a basic and old school thing, but it makes my life so much easier.
Yeah. And, you know, it's interesting that you mentioned Trello because I recently started moving my task management over to Trello for my team. And one of the things that I did, which I don't know why I didn't think of sooner, was actually created a resources card in Trello where like my link to my podcast is there, my link to my calendaring link is there, link to the Zoom link is there. And so instead of saying, hey, can you send this guest or potential guest a calendar invite or a calendar link to schedule, they don't have to go into Calendly, figure out which one to send. They just go into the Trello card, copy, paste it, send it. There's email templates there. There's so much you can do up front with the right organization that makes that seamless.
Yeah. And that's a big tip for anybody who uses Trello with the Kanban, however you want to pronounce it, you know, where we have left to right, we have a column, episode ideas, upcoming and planning. The episode was recorded, video, you know, the episode and video were published. But having a first, that's very common for people in Trello, right? Is like, here's ideas, here's, you know, needs to be done. It's being, you know, it's being worked on and it's done. Putting a column up front that I call it assets, right? Mm-hmm. And that's where stuff like the resources card, or if there's going to be different, because you can make actual templates with Trello cards too, right? So I'll have, depending on the board, we'll have different templates in that assets thing too. So having an assets column in the beginning of a Trello board, super helpful as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
But you mentioned, you know, having guests, guest processes there in that assets card. So what are some tips that you have here for people to be, you know, a little more organized, less chaotic when it comes to the guest process?
Yeah, I have learned this all through trial and error because I feel like I've done it all the wrong ways. And this has been the most streamlined way for me. So I say that to say that you need to find what your best way is, but here's what works for me is I actually created a Google form where, you know, even if it's a booking agency that reaches out to me and says, hey, here's the bio, here's, you know, pictures, that's in my email. And I don't know about your email, but my email, if it's it's more than a day old, it is gone.
Yeah.
So this Google form asks them what their name is. I like to send handwritten thank you cards out. So it asks for their address if they want to give me their address. And then it asks for their bio. How do they want to be introduced on the show? Upload a picture to what social media links do you want me to reference in case I forget to let them insert all of them. And, you know, it prevented all the follow-up of, hey, what links do you want me to do? What course do you want to mention? So whatever's important for you. But what's really cool about the Google form is it saves all the responses in a template, but then it also saves all of their uploads in a folder. So now all of your pictures are in one folder. All of your guest pictures are in one folder. So now your team just has to go to that one folder to find it. Also, the attorney in me, and this is not legal advice, disclaimer, right? Is I have a check mark at the box of that says, by coming on the show, you realize or you agree that all of this content is mine, right? Because when you have that guest that says something or it's edited in a way, like you don't want to have to take down that podcast episode because you didn't get authorization to record.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, that might not be a bad idea for a quick episode topic is just a couple of legal tips that are not official legal advice.
Yeah. Legal advice,
you know, but yeah. Like who owns what do you have to do to make sure things are, you know, all that kind of stuff. I'm sure we could curate a handful of really great questions that would not be legal advice in an episode,
advice.
But one of the things that we're talking about here is like, how do we make everything super easy? Right. And one of the things about having guests is now, this also goes to the kind of show you have and the kind of guests you have, and maybe it even varies based on the guest. But if you were going to have, who's your absolute dream guest?
Brené Brown.
Okay, so if she was going to be on your show and she emailed you the information and the image attachments instead of filling out the Google form.
You upload them to your Google Drive yourself.
Yeah, exactly.
And I'm sorry for everybody who's not Brené Brown out there. Yeah. There's Brené Brown and then there's not Brené Brown, right? So when you get that person that like as podcast guests or as podcast hosts, we truly believe and we have to that we can add value to every single guest's life, right? It has to be a win-win for everybody that's involved. Sometimes the scales are tipped though. And as much as I believe in my value, Brené Brown's definitely adding more to my life than I'm adding to hers. Right. So take the image and upload it yourself.
And so my point for that being that there are some guests. And again, that's why I say it depends on the show and it depends on who the guests are. And it depends on how far, like, you know, do you have guests go through an application process? And that's intentional friction because you don't want just anybody on the show versus are these people that you really want on the show? And this filling out this form becomes an admin task that you're putting on their table. And so in a way that could make it super easy for everybody, depending on the guest or your process would be if they do email it to you and they don't fill out the form, just forward the email to your assistant and say, hey, can you load this up? Right. There's a book recently, you know, because we're just loaded with book recommendations called $100 Million Offers by Alex Hormozi. Did you read this yet?
I haven't yet, but I want to.
Yeah, it's great. Highly recommend. But, you know, part of it is it's like the subtitle is how to make offers so good people feel stupid saying no. Right. And it's just all about like, how can you create a product or an offer or a service that is just ridiculously valuable and ridiculously easy? And, you know, that's like one of the things where intake forms, like, how do we just make this process ridiculously easy for guests that we want to have on the show? And it's like, if someone asked me to fill out a form, again, depending on the show coming on your show, I would absolutely fill it out. But, you know, if it were like somebody random who reached out to me, was like, hey, we're looking for podcast guests. Would you love to come on? I'd be like, oh yeah, this looks like a cool show. I'd like to be on. I'll listen to an episode. Looks good. And they're like, great, here, fill out this form. I'm probably not going to do it.
Yeah. Right. Well, and it also depends on what the form is. Like I've actually not gone on a show because of their intake process before, because it took more of my time than I was willing to give. Yeah. You know, it was a ridiculously unreasonable and disorganized path that somebody else could have been doing. Like if you want me on your show and if you want me on your show, you're getting content out of this. So don't ask me to fill out a form that is like, what's your name? Like three times. There were like three different forms that asked me for my name. Like you have all my information. Right. If you need this sent in a specific format to somebody, do it. or have your assistant do it, right? I also think that an underutilized tool is Calendly and their workflows. Mm. Like you can pre-schedule in Calendly all of your follow-up pre and post interview that allows your guests to have everything that they need so that they're getting reminders to do that form and things to that effect.
That's great. And that is the last tip that we do have two more tips. So, but the no follow-up, right? And so making sure you have organized and streamlined stuff, and you just nailed it, right? So whatever system you're using, if it is Calendly, you can use their automated workflow that follows up with your guests to make sure they get what they need and the value of being a guest. And, you know, if you have any other system, I'm sure they all have it, or they loop into an email marketing automation tool like ActiveCampaign, which is the one we recommend. But setting up an automated follow-up so that they get what they need. You know, that's definitely make sure you're following up and maintaining and building relationship with the guests after the show.
Yeah. And just staying top of mind, right? Like we never know where somebody's life is going to go. Mm-hmm. And I know that unfortunately there are really cool interviews that I had a year and a half ago. Then now I'm working on rebuilding those relationships because I didn't follow up the way that I should have. Yeah. So although it sounds so robotic, how are you reminding yourself? Like I've started to institute 3-month reminders. If I haven't followed up with a podcast guest in the last 3 months, I want to reach out and just see how they're doing. And just, you know, we had an hour episode together that was fantastic conversation. I want to see how they're doing and what's going on in their life.
Yep. Yeah. Jordan Harbinger has that tip, right? Scroll down to the bottom of your text message thread and hit somebody up. Somebody who's great at this, at least with me, is Ramon Ray. I should look at when he sends the emails to see if it's like a true cadence. Like, is it every 90 days? Am I getting an email from him? But it, you know, very personalized. And shout out to Ramon, Smart Hustle, Smart Hustle Nation and all them. I did a Clubhouse room with them last week. It was the first time I was on Clubhouse in like, I don't know, 6 months, probably more.
Oh, wow.
But great conversation there. Breakfast with Champions is the name of that show and room or whatever they're called over there on Clubhouse. But definitely check those guys out. And the last thing we have here is outsourcing and delegating to really simplify and organize your life. And, as soon as you're ready, this is something that, again, from a business standpoint, I've transformed as a person this year in 2021, where I have been making decisions from the future version of myself to become the future version of myself. If you say, I don't have the money to do this right now, you will never have the money to do it.
Yes.
If you're saying, well, I'm not big enough to have a show producer or a show editor yet, I need to do X amount first. Well, guess what? If you're spending time doing that stuff, hire somebody else, because you're not, unless you're an audio engineer, right? Or you're a video editor, get it off your plate, pay for it. And, it will help you grow into the person that you want to be.
Yeah. And on that note, really quickly, I recently finished Your World Class Assistant by Michael Hyatt. Mm-hmm. And
did we talk about this? Or are you the person?
I think
someone else? Okay, because I was going to say, I did just talk about this book with somebody.
I think so. I know that the company that I hired my executive assistant through sent me a copy of the book to train me how to use my executive assistant, which was so helpful.
It is.
He has this quadrant system, and it's like things that you enjoy doing, but you're not good at is one of the quadrants, right? And you would think that if I enjoy doing it, I'm going to do it. What he says though, is that things that you don't enjoy doing and you're not good at are the first thing you should delegate.
Yep.
Oddly, the second thing you should delegate is things that you are not good at and enjoy doing, because you'll go down a rabbit hole. Like if you enjoy editing, you will spend so much time trying to learn how to edit because you enjoy it. And then you've gotten nothing else done. So even if you think you enjoy it, if you are not proficient at it, which most people aren't, unless they are, and they do that as their career, get somebody to do it. Also, that little person in our head that tells us that we're not good enough tends to ratchet up that voice when we're listening to our own content. And I know that if I didn't have an audio and video editor when I first started, I wouldn't have a podcast.
Yeah.
Because I would have edited the crap out of that podcast. So, even if you enjoy doing it, hand it off your plate and delegate it, because that category, I'm not good at it and I enjoy it is the most dangerous business category to fall in.
That's a great tip. So here's what I would say for your show. This is what you should be doing. You should be the one who's planning out the topics and the content, right? And it doesn't have to take a lot of work. Go back to last week's episode of our show on airbrands.com/show for some quick and easy tips. The episode's like a half hour long. You spend a half hour after that, boom, you have 50 episodes planned. You have to be the one who's actually recording and capturing the content, right? So if you're doing 30-minute episodes, 40-minute episodes, take that much time per episode. Everything else, like the editing, even the publishing, the promotion, all of that stuff, you don't have to do. And so unless that's your business, or if you have a show as a hobby, obviously, and you're just kind of messing around and you're doing it for that reason. But if you have a show for your business, you should be the one who's kind of coming up with the ideas, planning out the content, capturing the episodes, and that's it. Get everything else off your plate. If you want help, obviously onairbrands.com, you can go and hit up the team there, talk to Eric, and they obviously are great at doing these kind of things with producing the shows and getting them out and publishing them. If you want help promoting them and building up your audience, that's where Treznik Media comes into play, of course. And if you don't have the right mindset for those kind of things, morethancorporate.com is where you hook up with Amber and learn from her on how to get your mind right to do all these things. So we got the whole flywheel here to help you. But what you need to focus on is being the expert in your path. Stay in your lane and don't waste time and energy, because that is money that you're wasting on those things that you should be outsourcing and delegating. So I think we got a lot of great tips in today's episode. Make sure you guys are subscribed over at onairbrands.com/show. And we will catch you on the next episode.
You are now tuned in to the